Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Friday, February 12th, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Did you send me my chocolate yet?
Nope.
Nope. No Valentine's chocolate?
No Valentine's chocolate. I thought it was President's Day.
Well, that's Monday. Valentine's Day is... Oh, I don't know. When is Valentine? Yeah, Sunday. And President's Day is Monday. So, either or.
It's too late for me to send
chocolates.
But I can get them in the mail to President Obama.
Can you?
Yeah.
All right.
We could send him some.
Let's go ahead and get right into the market report today. We're going to be moving right along, Alfred. Well, you know, stocks were trading higher today, of course, and after the rough week, and we had crude oil that spiked. And, you know, it's funny, the banking stocks, they recovered. And of course, and it was the banks that led the markets higher today. J.P. Morgan purchased 500,000 shares worth more than $25 million. So, hey, that's a way to make your shares go higher and to make the whole Dow follow along as, you know, the Citigroup and Goldman Sachs, HS, they all followed along. That's all they needed was to have one bank to, you know, to
it's kind of like
provide
pipe,
that confidence.
A bunch of rats.
You betcha. Deutsche Bank, they were also sharply higher today after agreeing to buy back more than $5 billion of senior debt. So, yeah, everything is back to normal. Everything is good because, hey, U.S. retail sales, they also climbed 0.2% in January. So it was a stronger than expected improvement. But you know what? It's still pretty. I wouldn't call that robust and a strong economy, and certainly not as good as last year. So, there was another, before we get to the markets, crude oil bounced back from their 13-year lows also today as the United Arab Emirates, the minister, he said that OPEC was open to cutting output. So they just had to put out a little statement saying, yeah, we might be cutting output. And so you had the WTI crude oil added about 9% to 28.65. Since its lowest level since May of 2003. So, hey, that's all it takes is to move the markets around, but it will be an interesting 3-day weekend. China, after being closed this week, will open on Monday when the U.S. markets are closed. And we'll see what kind of shape Tuesday, what brings us on Tuesday as far as the volatility in the market. So it could prove to be an interesting day. Gold had a nice day today. It's still down 7:30 at 12:40. We expected some sort of a pullback today after the huge move we saw yesterday and all week and the strength that it's shown since the first of the year. So this is a good sign. And what's really nice about this sign is it was lower. And it did claw back, and it held this level for most of the day, you know, between $7 and $10 down. So really not a bad day for gold. Silver saw the same thing, down 0.4 at 1582. Platinum is also down 4 at 961. So, I mean, the biggest loss was 0.5%, a little over 0.5%. So really not a bad day for the precious metals. The dollar, 95.98, back down below the 96 where it was this morning when I recorded a radio program that I do on Fridays, and down up, and it's still up 0.39 at 95.98, but off the highs of the day. And again, I mentioned crude oil came back above and closing in on $29. Paper markets today, again, you know, followed up by the, you know, by the banking sector. The Dow was up 300 points, up 2%, 15,973. They didn't get it up over 16, though. The NASDAQ was up 70 points at 43.37, and the S&P was up 35 at 18.64. And they pretty much followed the European markets. London was up 3%, Germany was up 2.5%. But the Asian markets, the ones that were Japan and both Hong Kong, we're down big, with Japan down almost 5%, 4.84%. 10-year yield, 1.75%, and the euro, 1.13, little pressure on that, down 0.51. So, you know, the markets are ending big today, and, you know, it's so easily shown how rigged they are. You know, you make a couple of statements and you buy back, you know, a couple of, you know, half of, you know, how many shares did they buy back, you know, and hey, everything is good again. And
well, it's all right with me on one level, because it really does keep gold at a good price for making purchases. All right. I don't like the markets being manipulated. It doesn't please me. But on the other hand, there is a silver lining.
You know, if we're looking forward to gold trading at 3,000, 5,000. Silver predictions, you know, far above than I would, you know, expect to see. But people don't understand. I mean, when those prices get to those levels, and I believe they're going, things are going to be very nasty. So, you know, we complain about the markets being rigged. We complain about gold and silver being manipulated. I don't like it either. But on the other hand, it does provide you with opportunities to get positioned, to get prepared. And because I know some people can't do it today, they have to do it tomorrow or next month, and it gives us just an additional opportunity. So, you know, to that degree, that is sort of a blessing. So,
because that's those always nasty one of those days things, are coming. Is the glass half empty or is it half full?
Those nasty, you know, days are coming.
Yeah.
And so, what's next, Dow?
Oh, I don't know. We've got import prices falling. Here's an article from Reuters. U.S. import prices fall on petroleum slide, strong dollar. The U.S. import prices fell in January for the seventh straight month as the cost of petroleum products continued to decline, and a strong dollar undercut prices for a range of goods, pointing to weak inflation in the near term. Labor Department said on Friday, import prices dropped 1.1% last month after a revised 1.1% decrease in December. Mm-hmm. Import prices have decreased in 17 of the last 19 months, reflecting a robust dollar and plunging oil prices. Well, the point behind this is that if a stronger U.S. dollar and lower oil prices are contributing to lower prices for imports, then the strong dollar, cheap oil, must also be contributing to more sales for imports and less sales for domestically manufactured products. If we're buying more foreign goods and less American goods, that means that the stronger dollar and lower oil prices are contributing to higher unemployment rates in the United States. Now, we've got the government telling us that the recovery is, oh, at least yelling the idea behind raising interest rates a mere 0.25% in December is evidence that the economy is strong. And yet, what we see here in rising imports, or at least falling import prices and presumably rising imports, is we should be seeing higher unemployment rates in the United States. It's another one of those leaves in the breeze that suggests that the Federal Reserve is fibbing. And the federal government is fibbing when they tell us everything's in good condition and things are working out well. Yes, Melody?
No, I'm listening to you. I mean, you're right. I mean, you'd think that, you know, when a country has a strong dollar and low oil prices, you would think that is something that is would be desired. But it's certainly offering the opposite effect when you have all the other world currencies that are all fiat currencies and can be manipulated at will. And again, just another sign, because of all those other currencies that can be manipulated at will, our dollar will fall. I mean, it's just a matter of time, you know, until it does reverse itself. And, you know, it doesn't have to go to zero. It doesn't even have to go to, you know, 50 in order to
No, it's not going to go to 50.
No,
it's already been to 50 and passed.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, so it's my point is, you know, a weaker dollar does at this level, we will see the same things. Now you made me lose my train of thought, Alfred, by stop breaking in.
Chugga 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 chugga.
No, I mean,
here's the point
whole
to
point,
it.
No, the whole point is you're going to see a weaker dollar. It's needed. Government wants it. We will get it. And it doesn't have to go to zero in order to get the higher gold prices, was my point.
Well, my point on this is that inflation, particularly if we go into hyperinflation, but inflation will kill the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the dollar is worth roughly a nickel, maybe less, mm-hmm. as compared to what it was worth in terms of purchasing power back in 1971.
Right.
It has lost 95% of its value to inflation.
Correct.
If inflation continues, it will lose 96, 97, 98, 99, and eventually it will go to nothing.
Right.
Inflation kills the dollar. Deflation kills the debtors. Because it forces deflation, gives us the stronger dollar. Say, yay, we have a stronger dollar. Oh, yeah? Deflation is lethal to the debtors in this country because they have to repay their debts in terms of more valuable dollars. You borrow $100,000, you repay $100,000 nominally, but if we have serious deflation in the meantime, you could be repaying the equivalent of $110,000 in purchasing power. That extra $10,000 that you're paying due to deflation, that nominally, you're still paying $100,000, but purchasing power, you're losing money on your bet, on your loan. And it means that all of the debts in a time of deflation, all of the debts grow larger. They're numerically, nominally the same, but in terms of purchasing power, they are becoming larger and less likely to be paid. The biggest debtor in the world's government of the United States. If we persist with deflation and a strong dollar, it'll destroy the government. If we go into hyperinflation, it'll destroy the dollar. So where are we going to go? I don't know, but one way or another, something's got to give here before long. And I don't mean next week, next month necessarily. It could be a couple of years still before the stuff really hits the fan. But we are either going to see enough deflation to make the government unable to pay its debts, or we're going to see enough inflation to make the dollar worth virtually nothing. So what are we going to do? The only thing they could do that would be reasonable, maybe, is try to hold the dollar exactly where it is. But even that is unlikely, improbable. And
well, the reason they wanted the, I mean, you know, and I do believe this, you know, they're choosing to have a higher dollar. It does gut the rest of this country, you know, because it isn't good for, you know, more companies are going, you know, they can't sell their products. So that means, you know, jobs are on the line and so forth, the bottom line and everything. So, I mean, and I do believe it's being done intentionally. And I do believe things will all balance out. I mean, things are just so rigged and out of balance. And they will all fall where it needs to fall. Which will be good for gold and silver.
I understand. You know, there are people that are talking, you hear the reports all the time about they're going to try to get rid of cash. Right? They're doing it in Europe. They're doing it in Europe. People are talking about it here in this country. It will eliminate any anonymity in making purchases. You'll have to buy everything, or you'll have to make your purchases with some sort of a debit card, credit card, something. And it'll all be done electronically, and they'll promote it one way or another. But the net result is you won't be able to buy anything without people in positions of power knowing what you're purchasing, what you're reading, where you're going, where you've been. They seem to think that they're going to get rid of cash. Insofar as we've had deflation, and deflation is a hallmark of economic depression, if they're going to get rid of cash at the same time we have deflation, we're going to see, we're going to probably slide into at least a recession, an overt recession. We're probably already in one. And maybe a depression. If we go into that depression without any paper dollars or coins, we can hark back to the last, to the Great Depression, and the slogan was "Cash is King." Anyone who had cash, you could get. If you're willing to spend your cash, you could get extraordinary deals. You could buy a home for, you know, dimes on the dollar. You could buy cars, you could buy anything you wanted to buy if you had the cash and you were ready to spend it. I'm going to bet, and I've been betting for the past several years, that in the event of an economic depression, cash will again be king. But if they take the paper cash out, and they take the dimes and the nickels and the quarters, they take them out, take them out of circulation, what cash will be left? Will we have no cash at all? Cash won't be king because there isn't any? Or will we look for a different cash? You know, during the Great Depression, what was the cash that was king? We look back and we think it was paper dollars. All of the paper dollars during the Great Depression were backed by either gold and silver or by silver. All right? The cash that was king in the Great Depression was gold and silver. All right? I think the same thing will happen if we go into another depression right now. If they take the cash out of circulation, people are going, there will be a black market for buying things with gold and silver. The cash that will be king in the event we go into a Great Depression, when paper cash and conventional coin is taken out of circulation, there'll still be a cash that's king, I believe. And it'll be gold and silver just like it was during the Great Depression. Let's take a break for some commercials. Melody and I will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific. American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody? What's next, Melody?
What? Yeah. I'm already...
Don't you remember that song? It was Tom Jones back in the day.
It wasn't Melody that he said.
No, he said Pussycat.
Yeah. You know what? I'm already beginning to hear stuff that is so misrepresented in the gold market, with just this week with the big pop that we've seen in gold. And I just wanted to bring up today gold for the U.S. Mint, the American Gold Eagle coins, their 1 ounce or the number of ounces that have been sold, 40,000. And it's which isn't bad for the 12th of February, so I would think that we would at least pass last month's record. Silver Eagles, 2,045,000 number of ounces that were sold, and those are the Silver American Eagles. It's slowed down a little bit, but not bad for 12 days, so you know, you double that, and it looks like we'll probably breach the 5 million ounces of silver, the American Silver Eagle from the U.S. Mint. So, buying is there, buying is strong, and, product is available, but it can disappear tomorrow. It depends on what you're purchasing. With the demand in Europe, you know, Swiss franc, British sovereigns, a product that is a little tight to get, only because of the demand is so strong over there, and that's where we get the products. So it's So get it while you can. Get at these low prices. We got some great deals going. 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. And of course, these programs, you can listen live at the website and they are archived. So make sure you get to dgscoins.com.
Got an article here from Bloomberg. And it's kind of interesting. We're just talking about the attempt to remove cash from circulation. They're doing it, of course, in Europe. They're trying to do it. And yet here's the headline from Bloomberg. Austrians need constitutional right to pay in cash, mayor says. Now, mayor is the economy minister, the deputy economy minister of Austria. Austrians should have the constitutional right to pay cash to protect their privacy. Deputy Economy Minister Harald Maher said, and the European Union, as the European Union considers curbing the use of banknotes and coins. We don't want someone to be able to track digitally what we buy, eat, and drink, what books we read, and what movies we watch. We fight everywhere against rules, including caps on cash purchases, again, according to this deputy economy minister. On the other hand, at the same time, the European Union, this guy we're talking about is from Austria, one country. The European Union finance ministers, who presumably represent all of Europe, vowed at a meeting in Brussels on Friday to crack down on illicit cash movements. They're here to, they've got to stop these criminal cash movements, Melody. Now, unless they're bribes, of course. We don't mind. Bribes are okay. That's okay. But for the great unwashed, we can't have illicit cash movements. And they're doing this. They want to impose these controls to prevent crime and protect the little people. They urged the European Commission, the European Union's executive arm, to explore the need for appropriate restrictions on cash payments exceeding certain thresholds. I don't want you to be able to pay more on, who knows, $100 in cash or whatever. Melody, I don't know what you're doing right now, but we can hear the rustling of the paper.
Okay.
They want to place appropriate restrictions. They don't want to place appropriate restrictions. They want to get rid of cash. But they'll claim it's going to be appropriate restrictions. Don't want you people spending. We don't want the great unwashed going out there and buying things with cash so the government can't find out how much money you got, how much you're spending, where you're spending, what you're buying. Appropriate restrictions on cash payments exceeding certain thresholds, and to engage with the European Central Bank to consider appropriate measures regarding high domination notes, in particular, the 500-euro note. 500-euro note would be equivalent, roughly, to a $500 note here in the United States. And it used to be we had 1,000 and I think $5,000, maybe even $10,000 notes in this country. They've taken them all out, supposedly, to protect us from drug dealers, the dreaded drug dealers, Melody. And the government will stop at nothing to protect us from the drug. And that's why drugs are so hard to find in this country, because the government has just gotten tough with the drug dealers, which is all a bunch of crapola, of course. But here's Europe doing the same thing. They want to get rid of the 500-euro note. They want to know how much money you got. They want it all inside the banks where it can be easily seized. They want it in an electronic form that's easily seized. And therefore, they want to trap European people, the European finance ministers, want to trap the European people into the existing banking system. They may want to put everyone's currency into a form that's easily seized for bail-ins for the banks. There's no way that the elimination of cash serves the European people. You can bet that the elimination is intended to serve the banks and or government, but not the European people. And just the same, similar, identical principles apply, that you can bet
that calls to eliminate cash in the United States are likewise intended to serve and protect the banks and the government and to put the American people deeper and deeper into a police state. Now, admittedly, there's only about 5% of transactions right now, as I understand it, that are conducted in cash anyway. It's not anything like a majority of transactions in this country. But just the same, there's going to be some very serious problems. I don't think they can eliminate cash. They can restrict it. They can fool around with it. They can tighten up on it. I don't think they can eliminate it. For example, what are the drug addicts going to use to pay for their fix? Do you think you can go down and see Big Bubba down in the corner and tell him I want a couple ounces of coke or something, and I'm going to pay for it with my credit card, and it'll go into your bank account?
Oh heck no! They'll be able to use their food card to go into Colorado and go into their marijuana legal stores. It's probably not much longer before, you know, you went take the criminal element out of drugs. So, well, there you go.
Well, if we take the criminal element out of drugs, there are a bunch of people who believe that there are elements of the government that have profited
from importing
drugs into this country and then selling them.
I mean, I'm not for a cashless society, of course not. However, you know, hey, that would be a good thing then, wouldn't it? If druggies couldn't buy their drugs?
Drug addicts will always get their drugs. If they have to capture white women and sell them into white slavery in foreign countries, if that's what has to be done, they'll do that.
Well,
but the drugs are coming in, and they're going to be paid for anonymously. And it's just one example of – I'm not saying it's a good example. I'm not advocating drug use and the rest of that. But what I'm saying, eliminating cash, what do you do with homeless people? Are you going to give them all a little plastic card and say, from now on, you're going to have to beg when you're begging for money on the street? You're going to have to get somebody to donate –
eliminate them. I mean, you talk about
eliminate who? The homeless people? How are you going to eliminate them?
Well,
kill them?
Well, that's
we can trade them with Mexico. They can send us their people. We'll send them our unemployed, our homeless. We'll send the homeless.
You release some sort of a little bug, and yeah, they'll all die. I mean, you know, there's so many crazy ideas out there that make something that's, you know, we all know they talk about population control. I mean, we were just talking about it the other day with Wendy. You mentioned it. So, you know, if a person,
I understand, but they can't come out and say, look, we're going to kill the poor people.
Well, of course they're not going to come out and admit it.
Well, we're going to notice.
You think,
all right,
you
when
would?
The bodies start piling up in the alleys and whatever, people are going to start to notice.
They relocate
them. What's happening with homeless people?
They relocate them.
Relocate to where?
Look at all these strip malls that are going to be closing. And you open them up to housing for the homeless.
Are you going to teach the homeless to use these plastic credit cards?
It will be given to them.
I know. And what makes anyone think they'll keep them? How long before they get drunk or stoned and they give up their credit card voluntarily to some other bum or some other bum steal their plastic from them?
Well, it's a hard life, Al.
I understand that.
It's a hard life. No, I'm not sure you do. I'm not sure you do. It's a hard life.
They're not going to be able to easily eliminate cash. There are sectors of society that do nothing but cash. That's all they use. I think we talked about it maybe a week or so ago. Something like 13% of the people in this country don't have bank accounts. What piece of plastic are they going to use to store their wealth?
At one point in time, there was a large retirement community that received checks until they were forced to open up accounts and to receive their retirement funds into an automatic deposit into the bank. So, you know,
this isn't going to be an easy process. There's going to be cash, I think, for a number of years into the future, and I can be wrong about this, but if
I'm
they're
not
going
saying
to make
it's going
the
to be
change,
I don't think it's going to be cashless tomorrow.
No, I don't.
But I'll guarantee you, probably in 20 years.
Oh, 20
probably
years.
Will be.
I don't even know the world will be in 20 years.
I mean, that will be the next step. I mean, the younger generations, they know nothing about cash. It's just until us old folks go. That's what they have to put up with.
Well, I'm not going.
They're the ones
so
that they have to deal with.
Forget that, Melody. I don't know what you mean. Us old folks, I've made up my mind. I'm not going. I'm going to be around here for a long time.
The younger generation?
Time,
the younger generation? Heck, that's only 10 years away. And you're right. Will the system, and hey, once you have a system
we're not talking
collapse.
About, the government's not talking about eliminating cash 10 years from now. They're talking about it because they're thinking about it in the course of the next 12 to 24 months. That's what they're thinking about. I don't know that
collapse.
They're going to do it, but this is going to be, my point is, this is not going to be easily done. There's elements of this. What are you going to do with the illegal aliens?
Send them home? They can use the peso?
You know, I mean, if the government wants illegal aliens to come up here, are they going to set up some sort of a dispenser at the border when they cross
the
border?
Why not? They give them driver's licenses. They give them driver's licenses.
They're going to have problems with this. They're not going to get rid of the cash easily. And they shouldn't get rid of it at all. And one of the things I'm interested in is, has anyone addressed this issue who's running for the presidency? Have any of the candidates talked about eliminating cash? I haven't heard Trump say anything about it. He may have.
Don't talk about anything. When was the last time you heard him mention the debt and how they would approach it or anything like that? They don't talk about anything serious. I mean, they talk about the same old thing.
Well, let them talk about a new thing. I'd like to hear what they have to say about eliminating cash. I'd really like to hear their opinions on this because I suspect that more than a few of them are for it. But how are you going to do this? The only way you can eliminate cash and make it work is perhaps when you talk about the homeless. When you talk about the homeless. You can't count on these people to maintain control of their card. They're going to be robbing each other. They'll be stealing their cards on a regular basis.
Well,
and
I don't know. I didn't really.
No, what you could do is take their fingerprints, their thumbprint, whatever, and if they don't have to maintain the card, and they only have to maintain a fingerprint, they might be able to hang on to it, but this would be nothing but a mess. I don't see how it can be done, but there are people in positions of power that want to do it, and they want to do it for the benefit of the banks. It's like negative interest rates. They want to do it because it'll be something that will perhaps stimulate the economy, although negative interest rates are actually contrary to the best interest of the banks. Everybody's got an angle on trying to hold this system together. And from my perspective, all of these crazy ideas are simply more evidence that we are on the edge of something catastrophic taking place. I mean, negative interest rates are insane. I think a cashless economy is insane. But even if they do it, they do a cashless society, meaning we get rid of Federal Reserve notes and clad coins, I still believe what will happen is you'll see just a black market in terms of gold and silver coins. I mean, drug dealers, if you want to get any drugs, you're probably going to need some silver dimes or silver dollars. And that will be the currency of choice. I don't know how it's going to work, but I can't imagine that they will successfully remove all of our paper cash from circulation. I just don't see that as easily done. Could be done tomorrow for all I know, but I don't think it's going
to
be easy, and I don't think it'll work.
All they have to do is chip them. Like they're going to resist.
Chip who, the people?
Sure.
Melody, you make me roll my eyes.
Well,
I've got my eyes. I'm going to have eyes.
Look at the big picture.
Rolling.
Look at the big picture, Al. Look at the big picture.
My eyes are rolling. It's kind of like trying to look out from a slot machine. You know, they got those wheels that are just spinning on my eyes.
Everything that's going on, how could you even not even think that that would be something that they wouldn't and couldn't do? The technology of today. I mean, it's just everything is about tracking. Everything is about they want to know what
you
want to
know. Well, maybe people need to stand up and say you don't need to know.
Well, hopefully.
Screw the government. You don't need to know. We'll handle our own affairs, and you idiots in Washington can mind your own business. We need to know what you guys are doing. You don't need to know what we're doing. We're
going
to take a commercial. That's what we're going to do is take a commercial. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and we will be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
A heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Got a headline from Business Insider. Sears, total collapse is a matter of when, not if. The end is near for Sears, according to one analyst. Sears is no longer viable as a retailer in its current form. This is according to Evercore ISI analyst. And Sears margins are worse than we thought. As a tough retail climate accelerated margin decline, a liquidity event is a matter of when, not if. What do they mean by a liquidity event? They mean running out of cash. They mean having more debts than revenue to pay them. A liquidity event signals technical and/or involuntary bankruptcy. And that's what this analyst is anticipating for Sears. The department store chain has been bleeding cash for years. It's been closing hundreds of stores and selling off real estate to stay afloat. Sounds kind of like the U.S. government, doesn't it? In the most recent quarter, Sears said it lost between $50 million and $100 million. The company's shares lost 60% of their value in the last year. It's a dire situation for Sears. In response to the report by Evercore ISI, Sears told Bloomberg, Sears Holdings has financial flexibility to continue to fund our transformation. Transformation into what?
a bankrupt corporation, non-entity. It's a sign of the times. I don't know. Corporations go broke. It's not, you know, it happens. Eventually, all of them go broke. I saw where a corporation, I believe it was in Japan, been in business for 1,400 years. They're folding up. There's circumstances.
1,400 years?
Yeah, 1,400 years. It goes back, 1,458 years ago, and they are folding up. Oldest corporation, corporate business entity in the world. They're folding up. Inevitably, Sears disappears. Inevitably, it all disappears. still, it's just interesting to me because Sears was a special place when I was a kid. Of course, you had the catalogs. They were fun to look at. They were big as a phone book, and they were something to look at. You could order through the mail or over the phone, and they'd send you stuff, and you'd send them a check and whatever. And you could go to the store and buy things. And the stores were always bright and shiny, the ones I saw, prosperous. The prices were a little high, but they had Craftsman tools, for example, which were among the very best in the world at the time. And I liked going to Sears. Again, this is over 50 years ago, but it's not as if I bought a lot there, but I liked going there. It was fun, you know, kind of interesting. And I've been to a Sears store, but it's not too far from where I live right now here at Dallas. And it's desolate. It's gray and dusty and dingy, and the shelves are, they're not filled. There's 20-30% of the shelves are empty. Nobody's there. Sometimes you can't even find store clerks, and it's a fairly big store. I mean, there's clerks there, but they're not me. Can I help you? Can I help? No, you don't get any of that. You can wander along on your own and fire a flare gun. If you need any help, fire a flare gun. They have been an American institution for at least a century, and they are going probably to fade out and disappear in the next 1, 2, 3 years, it'll be gone. And it's, you know, you look at it, it happens, it's bound to happen. It'll happen to General Motors and IBM and Ford, and you can't hardly name a corporation that's not going to disappear at some point or another. And yet, you just wonder, what did Sears do where they were so ineffectively managed? They missed the boat. Did they miss the internet? Is that what happened? Did they think they had it knocked? Where did they make their mistake, and what brought them down? But it does appear they're going away. And, you know, the world will continue to spin. I get that. But it's just, it's strange. And it's one of those things. It's a part of America. It's not just a store. You know, it's not just a store. It's been a part of America for over a century. And it looks like it's fading out. You wonder, is this as significant only to Sears? Sears made some mistakes, so Sears is going under. Or does this point to something larger in the entire U.S. economy? What do you think, Melody? Just bad news for Sears, or is it a leaf in the breeze for the whole U.S. economy?
Well, I think it's a combination, of course. I mean, you have poor management. We see these large corporations and they're very poor decisions, and you wonder if it isn't by design. I remember GM. I mean, they'd make these decisions on these, I mean, prior to 2008, they'd be making these decisions and producing cars that they know they're not going to make a profit for, you know, 10 years. It's like, okay, well, that makes a whole lot of sense. And so you see these large corporations and the management and these poor decisions. And then, of course, we do have the economy, the weakness and the internet, and the younger generation. I mean, it is a transformation. I'm not so sure it's just a transformation of Sears Holdings, but it's a transformation of the way this country does business anymore and the way the people buy. People, you know, been conditioned to have that. It's, you know, that immediate. You can go online and buy something and have it here. And yeah, if you live in the city, in an hour from Amazon, people have been conditioned to do this. So they've taken away a lot. And you're right. Sears is part of what old America used to be. Sears, Penny's. You know, and it has changed. So,
you know, there's another point to this also. We've got the government telling us that the unemployment rate is less than 5%. If the unemployment rate is less than 5%, should a retail corporation like Sears be going out of business? Or does the fact that Sears is in great is in dire straits. Is that actually evidence? Well, it's certainly evidence that they don't have enough customers. Does that mean they lost their competitive edge and they failed to see how the customer base was moving? Or does it mean that the customer base has shrunk by 20%? The real unemployment rate is maybe 23%, as claimed by John Williams at shadowstats.com. What's striking Sears down? Bad management? Is it just bad management, or is it that we really are?
It's both. They didn't. We've never come out of the recessions that we've had, truly, and maybe Sears is a sign of that. Because you're right. They continue to do business, thinking that, you know, things were going to come around and the people were going to come back, and you know, believing the baloney that is promoted. But you're right. It is the economy. It is the lack of jobs. It isn't. But they just never adapted to any of that. They just kept on doing business as usual, and that's poor management. Poor management didn't respond to the economic declines.
Did they just sit back and believe what the government told them, rather than making an objective assessment of the economy?
All I can say is they didn't do what they needed to do.
Well,
so you're right. They did make a correct assessment of what was going on. I mean, so, and I think we're seeing that with these stores closing, with Macy's, and they're just, and it is hard for them to compete with Amazon. And what's interesting about Amazon, I remember when I first started to buy from Amazon, you got your product from Amazon. Now, you're getting your product from, you know, multi-million different types of people from who knows where, and what type of product are you getting. I went online the other day, I was looking for something, and I thought, well, you know, I have a little bit of I felt secure in purchasing from Amazon. But then when I looked a little bit further, this item was coming from this other store, so I decided to check on the other store, and it had an arm length of complaints. You know, so if I hadn't followed through and noticed that the store had an arm length of complaints, I would have purchased from Amazon, thinking that it was backed and credited by Amazon. So, you know, the internet has really, you know, people can praise it, but
it
has
certainly
changed.
It does some interesting things, but it makes for such extraordinary competition that it's putting people out of business.
You don't even know who's there.
You don't know who's there. You don't know how broke they are, whether they're prosperous. The competition, again, is so extraordinarily fierce that some people are willing to work for just nickels and dimes. And I guarantee you, they will get the business rather than somebody who wants to be paid dollars and $5 and $10 for their efforts.
That's what always amazes me when people buy gold and silver online. I know a lot do, but it's like you don't even know who they are.
You mean who they're buying from?
Who they're buying from.
I understand.
I don't know. I'm just still too old-fashioned. I don't know. But.
Well, it's
And the privacy.
You can always get a job as a greeter at Sears.
And the privacy. You're buying something that gives you privacy, and you're basically giving it away by buying it online, where there's millions and trillions of eyes to see. It's just, I don't know.
I think the reason that we are, I suspect
that a primary reason why we are in an intractable recession and perhaps depression, one of the reasons can be traced to the internet itself. Because the internet is so fiercely competitive. If you can save a dollar, all right, you can shop. They have programs. It'll just put in what you want to buy. It'll identify the cheapest. Identify the cheapest source in the country.
And cheapest is not always the best.
I understand that, but people will take the cheapest. Unless there's compelling reason to do otherwise, they'll take the cheapest, which means anybody who's trying to make enough profit to survive is going to be run out of business by people who are desperate enough to work for nickels and dimes. And the net effect is deflationary.
Well, here's
cutting prices, and that's deflation. And it may be that the internet itself is a fundamental cause of the deflation, recession, and possible depression that we're facing right now.
I don't think so. I don't buy that.
Oh, I don't know. I agree that it's not.
I don't buy that.
Truth. I
think because
it's a
things are so over
possibility.
I mean, people. I don't buy that because people. I mean the. If you save in a buck, that doesn't mean it's deflationary. If it's way overpriced to begin with, if it's 100% overpriced and you have one guy that's doing it at 90%, to me, that's not deflationary. It's just they're paying too much anyway.
Put people out of business.
What the internet
on the basis
has
of
done.
Things no. other than if price alone will determine whether or not you're going to survive or you're not going
to
survive.
What the internet has done is to keep people buying. Because, I mean, if you go through a recession and you lose your job, I mean, you did have to physically get up, go to the store, buy something. And if you didn't have the money, you didn't go. But with the internet, people and the access to easy credit, people can now just look. How many home shopping networks do you have on television? You have the internet. You don't have to go anyway. And this has changed. I mean, people buy things they shouldn't buy, and it is a way to keep the economy going. And so it was a condition.
Maybe we keep the wheel turning, but it's not generating profit to the same degree that was true 20 years ago. The internet is reducing that profit margin, shrinking. And just because of the extraordinary competition, and as that happens, some of the people that are selling these products are going to have less help, pay their people less, lower wages. There's going to be more unemployment.
It hasn't been good.
More wages. it's unless you need people to buy your stuff. There's a balance here that's not being maintained. And this imbalance, to my mind, is conducive to deflation, recession, and depression. We'll watch and see, Melody, and we will find out 20 years from now when the history books are written, they'll say, ha ha, that one idiot out there, he thought it was caused by the internet. But our research shows otherwise, or maybe they'll say, wait a second, that guy was right. The internet did contribute to deflation. Maybe we'll find out over the weekend for sure. We're out of time for today. We're out of time for the week. We want to thank all of you for listening. We'll be Melody and I will be back on Monday. Hope you'll tune in then. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams.